That is out of the New Testament. It may be familiar to you. It probably should be familiar to you because I read it every quarter when we have the observance, or I read a portion of it when we observe the Lord's Supper. And I want to talk just a little bit about that this morning. First of all, I want to speak to you Baptists. Now, I'm not real sure that I have any business talking to anyone else other than the Baptists, but being one, why I feel like I can talk to them and about them. And so if there's, you know, I don't have to worry a lot about all the other denominations and what they believe and don't believe. I have enough problem just being sure that maybe some of our Baptists believe something from the Word of the Lord, and I believe that many of them do. However, we've got every kind of belief under the sun among us Baptists, and I was just sharing with the Missions Committee this morning a bit along that line. On a different number of subjects, we won't all be in agreement. So I hope that we can always remember this, that God's Word is there for all of us, and it's our responsibility as one of His children, whether we're Baptists or not, to study His Word and to understand it and ask Him to give us an understanding of His Word, and just to remember that it is going to be the final say. It isn't going to matter a lot whether I interpret it exactly as you do or you do as I do. We'll agonize over that, and we'll wring our hands about it, and we'll pull our hair and everything else under the sun. We'll fuss and fight about it. But the truth of the matter is God's Word is going to be fulfilled to a jot and to a tittle, and it is going to be the final portion that we're going to be judged according to, not what we believe or don't believe. I've said many times that many of us Baptists have a practice saying, well, we don't believe that. And I sometimes say, well, what do we believe? What do you believe? If you don't believe this, you don't believe that. What do you believe? And many times I find out they really don't know what the Baptists believe. They know what they believe. And sometimes there is a difference in what you believe and what I believe and what Baptists believe. And everyone is going to say, well, I believe the Word of the Lord. Well, let me just share with you this morning a portion of the Word of the Lord that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. And the Corinthian church had many, many things going on in it, not dissimilar to what we have going on in our churches today. If there's one thing that we need to be able to understand as one of God's children, it is that every person has a right to believe whatever they choose. Now, I would like for everybody to believe the way I do, but they don't. And you probably would like for everybody to believe the way that you do, but they don't. And that's just, again, part of life. Well, I want to be sure that we understand this morning, when we get through here with this message this morning, is that it is not as important as to how we do some things as to why we do some things. And specifically, I'm going to be talking about, from the Word of the Lord this morning, the observance of the Lord's Supper. And we Baptists have all kinds of ideas about how that should be done. And we have fussed and fought for as long as I've been preaching the gospel. And I'm talking about us Baptists. I'm not talking about the Methodists, Presbyterians, any of the others. I suspect they're not a lot different than we are, and they probably fuss and fight over these same things. We're just a little more open and honest about it. And we have a reputation as Baptists to be people who fuss and fight. But it's predicated on what the Word of the Lord says, because listen to what the Apostle Paul said. Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. I want you to hear that again. He said, when you come together, it's not for the better, but for the worse. He's talking to the church. Now, sometimes we just need to be sure, as we're reading the Word of the Lord, that we understand what the setting is and what it's applicable to, or the Word of the Lord is applicable to. He's writing to the church in Corinth. He's not writing to the world. He's not writing to the Jews. He's not writing to the Gentiles. He's writing to the membership of the church in Jerusalem, or in Corinth. Some of them came out of Jerusalem. But he's writing to the church in Corinth. Now listen, he said, when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. And you might say, well, how in the world could a church come together and it not be for the better, that is for the worse? Now listen, he answers it. He says, well, first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. I've never been in a Baptist church yet that didn't have some divisions among it. I never have. And I've been in several of them. Some of them, I probably don't know all the divisions, and that's probably just as well that I don't. I don't make any pretense that I don't even know all the divisions that are probably in Elkton Baptist Church, and I've been here for about as many years as most of you have. And just very few of you that have been here longer than I have right now, just to be honest with you. But I'm sure this morning that I do not know every one of the things that would be divisive here this morning as to what we believe. Some of you are going to believe one thing. Some of you heard me get up here and preach recently about, you know, some of the things that I see in the end time. And I recognize there are some of you who do not agree with me on that. And that's all right. I respect your right to believe what you want to. And I believe that you have a right to read and study the Word of the Lord the same as I do. And when you see it differently than I do, I'm okay with that. You're not probably going to change me in my perspective of it and as to how I see it, but I'm not going to try to change you either. Because the bottom line is going to be when we all finally stand before the great I Am, each one of us are going to give an account of ourselves unto Him and no one else. I'm answerable to this church right here at Elkton as the pastor. I am also answerable to this church as a member. Now, I don't want to digress here from where I was going here, but I want you to understand there are some things that I firmly believe. I believe in the privilege of being a member of the church. I also believe in the responsibility of being a member of the church. It isn't all one-sided. It isn't all just coming and say, well, I'm a member of the Elkton Baptist Church and I want everybody to know that. Well, you shouldn't be ashamed of that, but there's more to it than just telling somebody that you're a member of the church, any church as far as that goes. But Paul said, first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there to be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Now, he didn't say, I've heard this. I've heard this. Maybe it didn't happen while he was there and he was getting the church established. I suspect that before he got away from there, that some of these things had already begun to surface. But now listen, he said, when you come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, we're going to establish some basic things here so that when we get over here a little bit, you can understand what he is writing about, what he's saying. He says, first of all, when some of you come together, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. They were observing the Lord's Supper in the church in Corinth. And he said, some of you, when you came in here, you didn't come in here to observe the Lord's Supper. He said, for in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. Now that shocks a few people. Paul said, some of you, when you come in here to supposedly observe the Lord's Supper, some of you come in here, you've already eaten, you're not concerned about filling your stomach, but some of them are hungry. And they've come in here with the idea that to observe the Lord's Supper, that's going to help them to receive some nourishment. And some of you, when you come in here, you're drunk. He didn't say that they didn't come in. He said they did come in. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? He said, what are wrong with you people? What are you thinking? Now I'm paraphrasing. what the Apostle Paul is saying, but sometimes we need to get it down to where we can understand it. And some of you will remember the next few verses that I'm going to read because I read them every time when we observe the Lord's Supper here. But what you don't seem to go back and to pick up is to say, well, what was the setting here whenever the Apostle Paul was writing this? He said, what is wrong with you people? Some of you have come in here, you're already full, you've already had your dinner. Some of you have come in here, some of you are hungry, some of you are drunken. He said, what is wrong? You've come for the wrong purpose. He said, what shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. I'm not gonna brag on you. I'm not gonna compliment you. I'm not gonna tell you, oh, it's all right. You know, some people just don't seem to understand. Now listen. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. First thing we need to understand, it's not nearly as important as how we do it. Now, this church does it differently than any other church that I've pastored in, and yet there are some things that are similar. You know, we usually always have the deacons who are the ones who serve it. You never see me go around and serve it. I'm not real sure that there's any scriptural basis that says that the deacons are the only ones who are allowed to do that, but that's something that the church has determined and established. And I'm sure it's predicated on going back whenever that they established the office of deacon, that one of the things that they were to do was to serve. And so we've carried that thing on down through. And so we've said, well, what that means is to serve the Lord's Supper. This church, I don't know about, Lily, you and Debbie are here. I don't know whether it is here at this church or not, but one of the churches I pastored in, it was a holy, sacred secret as to how that bread was made. That unleavened bread. Oh, Lord. Don't let anyone know excepting the deacon's wives because they're responsible. I think we buy ours, don't we? Yeah. Now, to those people, that was critical. That was important. Nobody knew how to do that excepting the deacon's wives. They were the only ones who could make it. And see, that became more important than why we're doing it, how we're doing it. As I said, you know, we buy it here. The deacons still have the responsibility to serve it. Some churches, you know, I pastored at one time where that they say, okay, now everybody who wants to observe the Lord's Supper, you get up and you come up and you fill every other pew. And the rest of you, you move to the back. Good grief. That don't make it stand out as to who's doing what, you know. And of course, you know, those that are back there saying, look at those holier than thou's up there in the front, and those who are in the front saying, look at those sinners back there in the back. And by the time you got ready to do it all, you couldn't remember why you were doing it, it's how you're doing it. Paul said, you know, he said, whenever that you come together, he said, I'm going to deliver to you the things that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had blessed it, given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now, whether everybody takes it all at one time or everybody gets it individually, again, we're getting back into the hows. What we need to be sure that we understand is why we're doing it. Why are we taking of the bread? Jesus said, you do so in remembrance of my broken body. You do this in remembrance of me. And when I'm thinking about his broken body, I'm not too concerned about who else. I'll just let y'all know this so that if you have any doubts about it, I never look to see who's partaking of the Lord's Supper in this church, nor have I in any other church where I've been. I always make it a point to not be looking to see who's taking and who's not. Now, obviously, there are some times whenever that, when the deacon moves over here to the piano, I'm pretty sure the pianist is probably taking of the Lord's Supper. But I'm not watching to see as they go down the road, did this one, did that one not? It's not my business. And it's really not yours to know, excepting that you're going to yourself. Now, I recognize that there are people who want to know, did he or she take it or did they not take it? And we're being judgmental when we usually do that because we've got in our mind whether or not they are worthy to take it. We're going to talk about that. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. When we partake of the bread, when we partake of the cup, we are doing so in remembrance of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not of the Baptist, not of the pastor, not of the deacons, not of who is or who isn't or how we finally got to that, but that we are partaking of it and knowing why we're doing it, not how. When you get out of the point to where that you know why you're doing it, you won't be nearly as concerned about how it's being done. I recognize that we tape everything, and I know there are probably some people who see this that I'm unaware of, but I've made this statement before, and I'll stand here and make it again. If you're so nitpicky about how you're going to take it, you're just going to fall out of the pew right now when I tell you this. I am convinced that if I didn't have anything else, I could take Hi-Ho crackers and Coca-Cola and observe the Lord's Supper. I could, because it is not how I'm doing it, but why I'm doing it. Now, I don't advocate, and please don't go out here and say, well, the parson's not going to have us drinking Coca-Cola and having Hi-Ho crackers for the Lord's Supper. I'm not doing that. But you get my point? You understand what I'm saying? We get so hung up, you know, whether or not that. Now, some of you probably, after I said we're buying our bread, I probably better never take it again because no telling how sinful that is and how much leaven it may have in it. Well, you don't know otherwise anyway. You don't know whether those ladies who made that bread, whether they put anything in it or not. I don't know what they put in it. I never even bothered to ask them. You dare not ask them what was in it because they probably fainted. Well, anyway. Listen, it's why that we're doing these things. Why? He said, you're doing this in remembrance of me. Now listen, he says one more thing. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. See, there's the other part of it. Here's the other part of it. Why we're doing it. We do to show that we're remembering his body, and we're doing it to indicate that we have faith to believe that he's going to come back again in a bodily form. Yeah, sure we do when we partake of the bread and the cup. I want you to just keep that in your mind. He said, for as often as you do it, it's not specified in the word of the Lord as how often it should be done. Again, we get hung up on this how. So, well, those people who do it every Sunday, it don't mean anything to them. Well, it may not mean anything to some of us who just take it once a quarter either, because if we're not taking it for the right reason, we'd probably be better off not to be taking it. And you may say, oh, preacher, that's pretty strong. Well, listen. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Be very careful with that verse. It says, let a man examine himself. It doesn't say you examine whether or not somebody else should be partaking of it or not. need to look into our own heart, look into our own life. And it isn't saying, oh my goodness, if you've sinned this past week, you're not worthy to partake of it. That's not what it's saying at all. It's how that we're doing, not how that we're doing it, it's why that we're doing it. We spend too much time on the how. We're so concerned that we forget why we're doing it. We need to be sure that we understand why that we're partaking of the Lord's Supper. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. What he's saying? He said, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drink, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. I'm not going to answer for any one of you. I'm not going to be able to be the one who's going to stand there and say, oh, she shouldn't have partaken of the Lord's Supper, or he shouldn't have partaken of it. That's not my call to make. But what I will be there is to give an account for whether or not I did it properly or not. And that's what I've got to be worried about today. I'm not worried necessarily, but concerned about. And what I need to look at is to see whenever it's time for me to do that, do I understand why that I'm partaking of the Lord's Supper? Am I going to be the first one or the last one? Some say, well, I think you ought to be the first one. I don't care whether I'm the first or the last. As a matter of fact, I usually am the last one. And I probably got more scriptural basis for that than you ought to, if you think I ought to be the first. Yeah. Listen, it's not how we're doing it, it's why we're doing it. Now don't go out of here and get worried that the preacher's going to come in here with some new proposal to change the way we're doing the Lord's Supper. This church right here, and I want this to all be clear, allows anyone who's been saved to partake of the Lord's Supper. Is that right? Some of you are going to say, yeah. Some of you say, no. Well, I've been both. And I'm not going to tell you what my position is. I have a position just like you do, every single one of you. And I respect your position, whatever it is. I hope you'll respect mine. I'm not going to try to enforce that upon you. And I'll appreciate you're not trying to impose yours upon me. But listen, I want whenever it comes time for me to observe it, to know that I'm doing it for the right reason. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together under condemnation. And the rest I will set in order when I come. But Paul said, I'm not through with this subject. When I come back, I'll get the rest of it straightened out for you too. To the church people, don't think for a second that it was to the world or that it was to every Christian, because it wasn't. The letter was to the church, and that's who he was talking to. Sometimes I need to talk to you as a church, and I do. Sometimes I preach to everybody. Sometimes I preach to lost people. And so most of you can sit here and say, well, that doesn't apply to me because I'm not lost. And that's right. But every once in a while, when I talk to the church, it does apply to you if you're a member of Elkton Baptist Church. And then sometimes I just preach to all of you, and that's every one of you. That's a pretty fancy one. Listen, Paul said, when you come together, it's not for the better, but for the worse. Now, there was another thing here that was going on that is not that clear, is that they were coming together and they were having the agape feast. They were having a potluck. Yeah. And that was part of the problem, that they couldn't just differentiate between when they went from the potluck into the Lord's Supper sometimes. Now, I'd be pretty hard pressed if y'all, the church, was to decide that they decided to have a potluck every time just before we observe the Lord's Supper. I might have to reconsider my position at that time. So if you're looking just to very subtly get rid of me, that was the way to do it. How we do things are not nearly as important sometimes as why we're doing things. How we observe the Lord's Supper is not nearly as critical as why we are observing it. And we need to understand when we observe it as to why we're doing it. Yeah, it is doing so in remembrance of Him, and it is doing so in looking forward to when He's going to come back again. Not with a broken body, not with the broken body, not with the blood that was shed for me, but a glorified body, a body that's going to be glorified and that every eye is going to see and every ear is going to hear. One that will be a wonderful experience.